Well, welcome everybody to Forever Bristol City podcast. The final score at Ashton Gate last night, it finished City 1, West Ham 0. And I've got to do this. I've written this all down. Are you ready? Sir Bobby Moore, Sir Jeff Hurst, Sir Trevor Brooking, Ray Winston, Martin Peters, Frank Lampard, Danny Dyer, Billy Bonds, Dame Karen Brady, Mark Lobel, Declan Rice, James Corden, Harry Redknapp. We gave your boys a hell of a beating last night. You'd have to be over 30 to realise what that was just then. Apologies. But what a great night at Ashton Gate. I tweeted before the game, give us a night to remember. And City certainly did. Banished West Ham. Very, very, very ordinary they were. Joining me, Mark and Ian. As you do normally, guys, let's have your immediate thoughts after the game, a brief 30 seconds before we dive into the action and other stuff. You first, Mark.
Great to see City on 25,500, nearly a full house on national TV, where they were singing our praises. And the reason City won is they wanted it more and gave it everything in 94 minutes of pure hard work, standout performances from Cam Pring and goal scorer Tommy Conway, who brilliantly kept his feet. And the game just proved that football can just turn in a few seconds with both the goal from one end of the pitch to the other and an incident with 5 minutes into the second half. And we now know that Joe Williams is the deadly assassin.
Yeah, he is. Ian, your thoughts on the game as you walked away from Ashton Gate and then drove home to deepest Somerset or North Devon, wherever.
Well, it's East Devon, so well done. You're sort of half right. I thought it was very clever tactically from Liam Manning to play two tens. Now, there's been a lot of talk, and I was hearing a lot of talk on the radio from some very, very frustrated West Ham fans on the way home. I don't normally listen to it, but I thought, well, I will. And it seemed all we heard about was injuries. And nobody seemed to mention the injuries that Bristol City had, or as they insist on calling us, Bristol, which really does get right up my nose. So, excellent tactics from Manning. Played two tens. Not the two tens we'll probably play against Watford, but two tens all the same. Our best midfielder, possibly, you could say, was on the bench. But we still, if you added the players into that side, and possibly they could go in, you know, your Rob Atkinson, Cal Naismith, Mark Sykes, we were missing players last night as well. And nobody, I don't know if it was mentioned on the BBC, because I haven't watched or listened to it yet, but that... With that involved, I thought McCrory, for the time he was on the field, for a player that's been out and had the horrendous illness and operation that he's had, was excellent. But I think Liam Manning is erring towards playing with wing backs, because the wide diagonal for the flick on with Cam Pring is working. Cam Pring and Ross McCrory, believe it or not, are both 6'2". And that's a tactic we could see in the future. Yeah. Now, whether we can bring in somebody further back that can pass the ball and add balance, I know we're looking. So I thought it was a great night. The atmosphere was really good. That crowd is our capacity. We had a very, very similar crowd against Man City.
Yeah, we did.
The stadium's 27, but you've got to allow for segregation. You've got to allow for cameras and all the rest of it. So that's as many tickets as we could sell. So... George Tanner, I'll give him a mention because some David Shilton has on here. Dead solid. I don't particularly like George playing right centre back, but as I've said all along, he is a bloody good defender. Yeah. So that worked really well. When McCrory's fully fit, McCrory could play there. Mark Sykes can come in as a wing back.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, there we've got, if we can get the get over this damn injury crisis, this dogged us for 4 years, we really have got an opportunity. And yes, there will be ups, there will be downs, but we're building sort of, I feel that for the first time in quite a long time.
Okay, that's good, positive stuff. Mark, everybody was surprised that Jason Knight was out, but sickness before the game, and playing with three at the back. I mean, we'll talk more about future formations, but Ian's already alluded to it, what the options are. But Tanner, Viner and Dickie, it was an interesting formation change, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think having reviewed the game, it looks like it matched up West Ham's formation, but it worked very well. Having a new December 10s because it gave us a different focus. And I think it really helped our pressing, you know, tireless pressing. I think there were times when we could have released the ball earlier because Tommy Conway was making so many runs. And that was aired on by McEnough and Leon Osman in the BBC studio, from what I've heard. And of course, they do that tracker, don't they, and put the circle around them. Looks like they've been captured by the Mysterons. I've just lost a lot of people by mentioning the Mysterons in Captain Scarlet, look on YouTube. Yeah. But I think it gives a bit of a focal point whether you'll play that in games. I think Knight comes in from Mameti. And you've got Scott Twine alongside Jason Knight. You could play them as two number 10s and move Garner Hickman back and play him alongside Williams in central midfield. That could be really good. It's front foot. That would be his front foot as you get, you know, Jason Knight playing as number 10. Mm-hmm. And that's Scott Twine's natural position as a number 10. But yeah, it just gave us a different focus. And we saw Ross McCrory, you know, a guy who's been out. I mean, he would have lost a lot of muscle tissue with this infection, probably, I don't know. But, it had made him so ill, and he'd had to build up his fitness and his muscle. And to come back probably maybe about 4 to 6 weeks sooner than was expected.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. But I think we'll still have to be patient with him. From what I saw, he's not a person to hang around.
Gary Harris was saying on Bristol, yeah, on Radio Bristol last night, that he's a leader. You know, he was berating his own players, and we've not had a figure like that on the pitch. So hopefully,
I don't think he's going to suffer fools gladly or at all. But yeah, it was great to see somebody like that. But behind him, George Tanner was solid. Yeah. George gets a few pelters. I thought he was great. Campering was outstanding. I think he won player of the match, but I think the player of the match was probably Tommy Conway for his
work. I think there were players contenders for player of the match all across the pitch. We had the perfect start, but again, as Mark said, in the slip of a few seconds, it couldn't have been the perfect start because, you know, it was a misplaced back pass. Take us through the goal as you saw it.
Misplaced back pass from the right-hand side of West Ham going forward. Tommy got onto it just before the keeper. Did well to keep his balance and not fall over. Took it round him. Nice cool head. Couple of touches towards goal. Nice calm right foot finish into the opposite corner. The way we were moving last night, Anis Mameti looked about a yard quicker than I've ever seen him run. And he has played that position before. He played lots of positions for Wickham. He played left wing, right wing, 10. So he is used to moving around, and I think it's a question of finding where he's best. Like I said, I think the two natural 10s are probably Knight and Twine. However, we know that Jason Knight can play as an 8 as well. So what it does, it gives us options and it opens up the opportunity to let some players go in the summer or in January if we need to. I was excellent goal, a real striker's goal, if you want to call it that. Somebody alert, aware, good running, got around quickly. And I think Tommy's loving life.
He's got his confidence. Because he's converting penalties. He's scored in two of the biggest games City have played in for many a one. He's done well. How did you see the goal, Mark? Because integral to it was that clearance by Max O'Leary. You know, I mean, it was a desperate clearance, but it found its target. And then, as Ian alluded to, Tommy stayed on his feet. Others would have gone down, I think. There's a tendency to go down. And I think, as Gary Hours said last night on Radio Bristol, he composed himself. Instead of dragging it or hitting it with his left foot at an acute angle, he composed himself, and it really was a simple rolling over the line when he finished it. But how did you see it?
Yeah, there's so much more to it. And we could have conceded a goal because City get the ball halfway inside their half, and Viner looks across at Dickie, but he doesn't look up. So he plays a pass to Dickie, slightly behind him, and Cornet runs on, plays in Danny Ings. But we're going to think now that Max O'Leary plays his best passes under pressure. He comes out and makes a sliding tackle stroke pass, and he hits it so hard up the wing that it's behind that Mavropanos has got Mometi and Pring chasing him. But the move of the game is really Conway has run off Kurt Zouma. He's completely lost Zouma. He anticipates the pass from Mavropanos. And then what he does is he pushes it with his left foot, just touched it past the keeper, and he's stumbling. And then he gets himself upright and strokes it in at an angle right into the far corner of the net and beats the despairing Zouma. But it's that run from Conway off of Zouma to anticipate that. You know, if he doesn't make that run, there's no goal. But Mometi and Pring deserve a lot of credit because they're chasing down Mavropanos. Mavropanos doesn't look up. Similar to Viner. So you've got one mistake at one end that's saved by the keeper, our lamented Max O'Leary from Saturday. Makes a fantastic clearance. He's going to think he's Emerson if he carries on like that. But he just strikes it so well on the slide.
I have to say, when you said Zouma, Conway lost Zouma.
Yeah, Conway lost Zouma. Zouma's just angling.
I bet Zouma's cat was wishing he did similar last year. But, to bring that one in. He was getting sick through the game because of that. I didn't realise the RSPCA had mob, crowd mob, or whatever you call it, at the game because you got booed.
Well,
every time
the stupid thing is if you choose to abuse animals, don't film it. Yeah. Don't abuse them at all. But he filmed it, didn't he?
Ian. We'll talk about the sending off as a separate incident when we get into the second half, but it was one of the comments here on the text feed is that, you know, we were physical. You know, we are not, you know, we're a little bit pansy-ish or been known for not being hard in the tackle. And, you know, we put it up them last night and they didn't like it, did they, at all? Yeah.
Well, somebody else has also said it shows the difference between the Premier League and the Championship, because in the Premier League, you bump into somebody and they roll over 14 times, they might get a free kick. Although the referee, I thought, was excellent last night. He's obviously better at refereeing than he is at drawing lines. I thought he let the game flow. There were only 11 free kicks in the entire game. And I've noticed recently with City, we don't give away many free kicks because the referees have stopped giving absolutely everything. And I think it's taken a few of them a real while to get used to it, and some of them still aren't brilliant at it. But it has made the game better and more free-flowing. So I was delighted with that. We are, as we know, I mean, if West Ham, they should get a videotape of the second half at Preston and then say if we're physical or not, because we looked anything but up there, didn't we? So it goes to show you can do it. One thing on last night, before I forget, and it's a great time, and I don't want to be overly critical of anybody, but I thought Zach Viner's distribution last night was absolutely abysmal. And he really he defended well enough, but some of his playing out was terrible. Joe Williams got caught on the ball early on a couple of times, but then he grew into the game and got up to speed. Because with all this stuff about, well, weakened team, £25 million Benrahma, £25 million England international Ward Prowse. What did Fornals cost them? Didn't they pay 30-odd million for Zouma as well? So this, you know, when you say, well, we've got our top players out, the £85, £100 million, couple of them may be out. But we had players out who are every bit as valuable to us when fit and firing, and they haven't been for a while.
I hear what you say there. If we're I don't see Cal Naismith getting back in that side, even if he was fit at the moment, to be honest. And that's a big question.
Well, perhaps he gets in it in midfield to give us a balance at the base. So you've got a lefty and a righty in there.
Yeah, but then who do you leave out in that situation?
Well, I'd leave Matty James out.
Interesting.
Yeah, you could play Taylor Garner. Yeah, so, you could play Taylor Garner Hitman alongside Williams. I think he's more.
It gives you options. What in the past we haven't had options. I mean, look, when we played Cardiff, Nigel's last game, as it turned out, 12 players missing.
Yeah. Well, we always said if the players come back, it's a top 10 squad or whatever, but it's a decent squad when everybody's fit. But as you've said on numerous occasions, Ian, we're always likely to have four out at any one time just because it's us. That's how it seems. Mark, I mean,
West Ham, you need a stronger squad.
Come back into the game. Their corners look wicked. Max had a few nervous moments, didn't he? And his handling, you're thinking, oh no, Max, there was a couple that came in and I'm thinking they're going to get one here. And they enjoyed a spell, not for too long, but Max held firm, didn't he, in that latter stages of the first half?
Yeah, they had a chance when Ings got the ball just outside the 18-yard box, and he was allowed to turn, and he struck it well, and it was just wide of Max's right post. But yeah, there were a couple of crosses that were overhit. One where he got his hands on the ball but sort of dropped it, and it went behind on his left-hand side, and one on his right-hand side. But we were inviting a lot of pressure, probably up to 10 minutes before the end of the first half, when they were working us very hard down the left-hand side. And they had a few corners. There was a free kick from James Ward-Prowse, where, strangely enough, and I've seen this on the highlights, Mavropanos just pulls out of challenge with Max O'Leary. All he's got to do is, if he just puts his knee in there, just gets a touch, because it's just got such a good whip, curled in from left to right. All he's got to do is take the pace off the ball, and it's in the back of the net. But he pulled out of it. He just stops because O'Leary's coming towards him. Not with his fists or anything. He just stands up. So, that was bad from West Ham's point of view. I think Cornet got had his back to goal as well, and he turned from about 4 yards and just swept it wide. But yeah, there was a lot of pressure coming at the end of the first half, and we had to stand firm.
We did stand firm. But saying that, Ian, they had that pressure up until, I'll say, the 45th minute, but the 44th minute, but then there was 2 minutes, I think, of time added on, or was it one?
One.
We forced two corners in that stage, Ian, didn't we? And, we might have got a second just before the break. I mean, we weren't sitting on our laurels, were we, at that point?
No, and I think that is a feature of Manning Ball, that when sides try and put us under pressure, I thought we could have played out a little bit more calmly, but hopefully the players will pick that up with time. So you pick it up, you've got the time to pick it up and learn. But the team, I said earlier on the text comments, that team looked coached and organised and managed. Yeah. It was a little bit like, I made the same comment about Ipswich when we played them. And strangely enough, their manager is actually younger. He's one of the three younger managers than Liam Manning in the Championship, only by a year, to be fair. So I was pleased with how we were, and I didn't think we'd buckle. Did I think West Ham might get an equaliser when they were? Ward-Prowse has got fantastic delivery on set pieces, and they put us under a lot of pressure. But we defended bravely, and we defended with a lot of skill, and I was really,
well,
I was really,
I mean,
pleased with
Bobby
that.
Lost and Found on the text feed here said when we slipped or fluffed, we refocused immediately, and that was the thing I tweeted at half time. It was unforced errors by us where they were misplaced passes, but we refocused, and I thought we were hunting in packs as well. Whenever we lost the ball, we gave West Ham a lot to think about. Mark, Ian was commenting about Anis Mehmeti. He looked a yard quicker. Again, not being critical. And he did some good stuff last night. But quite a lot of stuff broke down again because he seems to get easily knocked off the ball, yeah? Don't get me wrong. He did some good stuff last night. It was a good game from him. But I was frustrated a few times when, you know, he just didn't have that physicality to retain possession. Am I being unfair with that comment?
And I mean, in the first half, he got down the line a few times, which was great. But I think with his confidence on the rise, he's now taking players on that he wouldn't have beaten in a million years a few weeks ago because he was just running into defenders. It was almost as if he didn't have the confidence to beat him. He didn't believe that he could beat players. So he's trying different things. He's coming inside as well as going outside. I think sometimes he probably needs to release the ball earlier, but you could say that you need somebody in support. I think under Manning, we try not to waste the ball. So sometimes we could pass, we should spot a run quicker. But if a player doesn't think that he can pass the ball, we won't waste it. We won't just, you know, play it a loose pass or a long pass. They'll play it back and they'll recycle and start again. So, you know, that you know, it needs a bit of patience. But I think he's a lot more confident player. Yeah. I mean, he leant back and hit one over the bar last
night.
Yes,
he did. That was
he should have got on target.
Yeah.
But the one at the end of the first half, he works it well. He works the ball well because he was playing, you know, he was playing across behind, you know, behind Conway, so he was playing left to right in that number 10 role and got a good shot, you know, that gained the corner right at the end of the half. So I think he faded a bit in the second half, which is why he was taken off. But I think he's a much better player.
He's definitely,
if he can continue
player.
This form, there's a player in there. Maybe not to start though, now that we bought Scott Twine, I think maybe you see him start ahead of Mehmeti.
And he's got a manager that believes in him as well, because the rumors were
exactly. I mean, he could have been. I've completely wrote him off because he lacked confidence, he lacked ability, and he's beginning to find both of those. But time will tell.
Right.
But the report is it's a lot better.
Okay, so going in at half time, we're all over the moon at being 1-0 up. And then, Ian, the flashpoint coming very early in the second half, 51 minutes. I mean, Joe was putting himself about. How did you see the incident? It was the opposite side of the pitch to you. I was just, I don't know, 30 yards inside our half. So it was just some distance away from me. But he looked in trouble as soon as that foot went up, didn't he?
Well, I've watched that back. I watched it in the supporters' bar after the game yesterday, and it was a blatant red card. Williams went in and I think deserved a booking for the tackle. There was a tackle before that that had the referee blown up, the Williams tackle wouldn't have come about. So it just goes to show how things, as Mark said earlier, can change in an instant. So Joe's gone in. Joe's Joe, and he's gone in for that tackle. I think he's caught the lad more with his follow through, but anyway, it's a booking. So it looked to me like Joe bent over to try and pick him up or something like that. The next minute, Ben Rammer's give him the old double footed drop kick in the chest, and there was no way he was going to get away with that. No way on earth. And as soon as he booked, as soon as he booked Joe and Joe walked away, because there were people sat near me saying, hang on, is that going to be a red for
double
Joe
red,
Williams?
Double red.
Yeah, and I saw then all of a sudden, like, you can't see the card from over there. And then I saw the our crowd explode. I knew it was a red.
Well, he put a yellow card. But, he put the yellow card away, and it was almost as if that was the bit that I was watching, because he put the yellow card away.
It's normally the back pocket for the red card. They go to their back pocket.
He went in his hand and brought it out.
Yeah. You're in a lot of trouble. And it was a clear red. Did that help us? Of course it did.
Well, most of the threat we can get. Most of their threat was coming down that side as well, really, wasn't it? Certainly in the first half.
Well, think about it. The side that we beat are sixth in the Premier League, although our West Ham fans last night screaming for Moyes' head, They're a European champion.
Yeah.
And we beat them, Bristol City. So let's give ourselves a big pat on the back and a lot of credit. And I know, I mean, Manning wanted to talk, when he was being interviewed, wanted to talk about the Watford game. So that's his focus. That's his, we've done that. That's brilliant. Right, now we've got something else to get on with now. So I hope that we get it right and we beat them, because we don't want this after the Lord Mayor's show again.
Well,
I don't think we will.
That is so typical Bristol City. But we talk about Watford and looking forward to the games that are coming up in a very busy spell in a moment. Mark, there was a sending off, but it was starting to get a bit tasty out there. And there'd been a few comments that Taylor Gardner-Hickman was, I've seen an image where his arm is up. How did you see that? And obviously add any comments you've got about the sending off as well.
Yeah, just a quick one on the sending off. Should have been a free kick for a foul on Tanner. I think it was with Cresswell. Goes down. Williams, you know, hard tackle on Ben Rahman. Ben Rahman's on his back and sticks his both feet up, pushes away like that, and his right foot goes up into Joe Williams' chest. Williams buys it. He goes down. You know, I mean, it wasn't enough power to send him on his back, but, you know, why not go down?
Yeah.
Definite sending off. Hickman won. He's wrestling with Cresswell in the left-back position and sort of pushes him in his chest, and it carries on, and Hickman's hand comes up, catches Garner Hitman's hand catches Cresswell, his right hand, in the back of the head. Now, if that had gone to VAR in the Premier League, he would have been sent off. But the referee didn't see it, or the assistant referee didn't see it. So I think we were quite lucky with that really,
it was
interesting. A time for cool heads because
he was booked, so they can't take retrospective action because the referee acted at the time.
Yeah. It was interesting that the referee was on the line to somebody before the Ben Rahma sending off, whether it was his officials, but he was still.
It would be his assistant.
Was it officials, Mark, you're thinking, when he was talking then? Because he could have walked to his official.
Yeah, I didn't know Garner Hitman was booked, but they were wrestling. And Garner Hitman, really, I mean, you need cool heads after a sending off. You don't want your players to get involved in any spats, because the opposing team, the victims, usually try and rile you up and try and do something. Yeah. They try and get you back. Every foul is greeted with a chorus of screams, isn't it? Send him off for anything similar. So just keep on cool head. He was a bit silly, Garner Hitman. He didn't need to do that. And in the Premier League, he would have gone. So we did get away with one there. But there you go. Well, that's life, isn't it?
Two players for City booked last night, Joe Williams and Taylor Gardner-Hickman. I've just checked. So there you go.
Yeah, we didn't. He didn't need to do it.
I don't think if he'd have punched him. I mean, they were having a tussle, and his hand went up around his head. It wasn't a deliberate.
Well, there was an incident off the ball. It was an ongoing thing.
I tell you what would have happened. This is what happens in the Premier League. The referee might have thought, well, it doesn't deserve anything. Then the VAR official would have said, I think you need to look at the pitch side monitor, which changes the referee's mind. So he sees it in slow motion, and then he thinks, was I wrong? If I get this wrong, PGMOL might not give me another game or something, and he changes his mind. So,
I think that not the final altercation with the raised hand, but there was a lot of shoving and pushing. It was right in front of the linesman on the Lansdowne side, and if he'd have thought there was much in it, he'd have flagged. But like all the officials did, they let the game flow, and as a number of people have said who are used to watching Premier League football, how nice it is to see a game without VAR. Okay, Ian, West Ham were going to have their moment, and Max lived up to the moment. He was criticised on Saturday against Preston, but I haven't seen the replay. I'm going to watch the whole programme that BBC put out, because I understand Jonathan Pearce, it was an encyclopedic knowledge of Bristol City came to the fore, going back over the 50-plus years that he's been supporting. But the save, it was a worldie. If any Premiership goalkeeper had done it, you'd have seen that many times. You know, he looked a bit dodgy in the first half, but that was a top-jaw save and a good strike from Suchet, wasn't it?
Yes, and if you can honestly sit there and tell me that Fabianski is a lot better than O'Leary, then we can have a debate. And I don't know what West Ham paid for Fabianski. They might have picked him up on a free, for all I know, but I don't know. I mean, look, we know with Max, he's not the biggest keeper physically. So he's not one of these 6'5" guys. that dominates his box. Yeah. But he's a very good reactive goalkeeper, and he's pulled us out of it more than he's dropped us in it this season.
Yeah.
So, what you've got to look at with defending, people say, oh, the keeper shouldn't have been out there and he shouldn't have done this. Right. Why was the keeper out there? Because on Saturday, the right back headed the ball backwards and inside, and they're told never to do that. Right. But he didn't do it deliberately. It was just the challenge that went in on him. He couldn't get a clean header. Dickie lost his man. Right. So the lad, Will Keane, ran off Rob Dickie. Dickie didn't make the run because he thought Max had the ball. And Max didn't have the ball. So that was a collective defensive disaster. And the second goal weren't a lot better either. So I expect Liam Manning's had the videos out and said, right, this is what you should have done. Don't do that other bit again. But you're going to get that, and we're still going to get it. So I'm not saying, look, because we beat West Ham, and somebody, BCFC Skidmark is pointing out on here, they're in the last 16 of the Europa League, not the Europa Conference.
No.
So no. This season.
And
so
look, let's be fair. If they'd have had Bowen and Pakatar, and I think there's another player.
Yeah, but Antonio. Dave, if you're Ante.
Yeah,
but look at the injuries and the players away that Tottenham have got. Right? Look at the injuries that Man United have got. It happens in football.
Yeah.
So well, I'm saying we need to cure ours. Where these clubs get away with it, well, not they didn't get away with it, but they sometimes get away with it, is they have bigger squads.
Yeah.
And they've got under 21s that we die for. So because they spend 5 million quid a year on their academy, and they've got blokes in their under 21s driving around in Ferraris and Bugattis.
Yeah.
So, whereas our lads have got...
They don't fancy it in Bristol on a Cold Tuesday night. Incidentally, he only named 8 subs, and 2 of those were goalkeepers, yeah? And West Ham fans quite clearly aren't happy on the forum, you know? Moyes is in the situation that Nigel was in. That he's out of contract in the summer, but no negotiations have taken place. Although, saying that, I think they have, because that was reported in the press the other day. Mark, the save from Max, as you saw, it was over in a flash, but... you know, that was a fine effort by Sushik, and the save was top draw, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean it's a good cross because it's hit with pace, and Suchek's arriving on the ball, making a good run from midfield, like you should do. Like to see us do more of that, and he takes the pace off the ball, but the ball is rising, but Max has still got to go backwards and get a very firm hand to it and push it over the bar. So a great save. Tomo on here is, talking about people are referred to the subs. I think Sam Bell did well when he came on. Naki was okay. Probably could have scored with a one-on-one. Fabianski made a decent save, but it was...
He shot one over the top didn't he? Yeah,
yeah, that was a better shot. That was a half chance. And then there was a cross, a great ball worked behind, and I like to see us do that more. Worked behind to Sam, great cross, and Naki just couldn't get his foot round it and fell, you know, almost fed into the net. Harry Cornick, I mean, I'm beginning to think shouldn't slag off a player, but he's like Cinderella because he always seems to be late for the ball, doesn't he, Harry? So I think probably if you want to move somebody on in January, I don't think we miss him if we could bring somebody in. I just don't think he's good enough, unfortunately. I just don't have anything.
I mean, he's blocking the pathway to any young players.
Yeah, he's not the player that we need. He's just not going to take us anywhere. But I thought Sam Bell was decent when he came on. But what we didn't do, and West Ham were playing a high line, and somebody like Scott Twine or can take advantage of this. We really. When we did get chances, we could have created some more chances. We were offside far too many times, and we could have created a few more one-on-ones by playing the ball through their line better. We messed it up.
We caught them offside a few times as well, mind you.
Oh, yeah. But I think, you know, in that stage of the game, because we did hunt the ball down well and took the pressure off us, we were quite comfortable playing the game out. Yeah. But a better final ball could have seen us get a few more chances. And hopefully with, you know, with Scott Twine and maybe another attacking midfielder, hopefully arrive soon, can take advantage of that when that happens.
Well,
but, you know, comfortably paid out in the end from a team that collectively just wanted it more and proved that over the two games. And sorry, West Ham, but we deserved it. And
we did. No, I mean, we deserved it. I mean, Ian, you know, we just looked very, very confident on the ball, as you said earlier. You know, we didn't give it away. We weren't wasting passes. We did make unforced errors. It was our downfall. And that's just because they're playing in a way that they've, as you said, not saying they weren't coached under Nigel, but we actually look drilled, you know, and this playing it across the back and what have you, and bursting forward at pace, you know, it did look easy on the eye against top quality opposition, didn't it? Or, you know, would West Ham would rather have been on the beach having their mid-season break? Because sometimes it looked as though they played like that.
No, I think that's completely wrong. I don't know how anybody could say that. If you think West Ham were trying last night, I think you'd be deluded. Because if they weren't trying, then we really are truly terrible. We know that they've got a far stronger squad than we have because they're sixth in the Premier League. They won the Europa Conference and now they're in the last 16 of the full Europa League.
Yeah.
Right. So they're going to have a stronger squad now. So you have better players. They've got two there who are arguably £100 million players in Bowen and Paqueta.
Yeah.
Okay. Moyes must be cursing this FA Cup game and his team selection. Absolutely cursing it because he's lost his best striker, a world-class midfield player who Man City will probably sign, providing they don't get relegated four divisions with all this furore around the 100 charges or so from the Premier League against them. They've got a terrific squad. And I mean, if they want to get rid of Moyes after what he's done, I don't know what they expect to achieve. I honestly don't. But I mean, that's one for West Ham. I'm not going to tell them about their club because I hate it when people from somewhere else call us Bristol and start talking about our club. So and West Ham, let's get it clear, are a fantastic football club and they've got proper people. They're a lot like City. I mean, we're obviously smaller, but smaller ground as well. So, but that they're a proper club. But you just need to be a bit. I always remember the Newcastle fans when Bobby Robson was there and they were fifth in the Premier League and they thought that wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And then within a couple of seasons, they've been relegated.
Well, look what happened to Charlton Athletic many years ago with Kirbishley and Kirbishley. Steve Britt. Yeah.
Yeah.
They never
exactly
recovered.
The same. Sometimes just be a little bit careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
comes back to this. Okay. Anybody this talking about the Lansdowne's going, it's just moronic. Sorry, it just is. I can't tolerate it unless somebody can start giving me solutions, not coming out with just glib remarks.
Yeah,
which anybody could say.
Let's look forward to the next league game. It's against it's against Watford. And I think Ross Edwards has said City can't do it against lesser sides, and we're better. And Skidmark has said we're better against better opposition. Mark Watford, they're a team. They got a win at the weekend. We gubbed them on Boxing Day very convincingly. But they're a side that they are a more attacking side than either Birmingham, Preston, or Millwall. They've got those players. So it promises to be a good game on Saturday, doesn't it? Yeah, but we do need those 3 points to stay in touch with the playoffs.
Yeah, I think can City play with that intensity again? Can they create a few more clear-cut chances? I think last night we only had 43% possession, which was quite interesting, especially after they went down to 10 men. I think we still play better when other teams dominate possession or have more possession than we do because we can spring them on the break. But I think, you know, with Scott Twine coming in and he will start, there'll be a bigger expectation on the players. So they're going to have to meet that. But I think Ian was mentioning this to me last night. City do need to score an early goal. I think they definitely need to score in the first half, because it's quite noticeable about Ashton Gate how quiet it gets. And even at the end of that first half, with not a lot going on, there's like silence at times.
No, you're right. I think people were just sort of...
It's just so strange.
I thought it can
feed through to the players. I mean, the thing is, you know, we're a bit passive because there's no success. Fans will say, well, players need to whip the crowd up. Sometimes an individual player will do that. But we're not a team that creates a wall of noise. Section 82 will, but with all stadiums now being a lot nicer, fans are a bit more passive. But it was so passive last night at times, and that's the worrying aspect for the players who feed off of that energy. There wasn't any energy to feed off, you know.
Yeah, there were a few chants coming from Block A of the Dolmen. I noticed last night with a bit of interaction, but Ian. Watford, you know, they're a side that you would want to play against because they play a little bit more expansive than those teams that I just mentioned. That, let's be fair, our last three league performances have been pretty bloody appalling. Yeah, but what do you think? And how do you think we might line up against Watford on Saturday? You know, starting 11, it's a 20-man game, not Jeff 20-man game. It's a 20-man match day squad. But what's your first picks going to be? Or do you think Matt Liam will pick on Saturday against the Hornets?
It depends who we've got available, and that's not a cop-out. I think we might go with two tens again because it seemed to suit us last night. I think one of the tens would be Twine. And I think the other ten would be Knight, providing he's fit. I think TGH will replace Matty James. So you've got him in Williams at the base of the midfield. If Mark Sykes is back, he may start at right wing back instead of Ross McCrory. He might. Or he might be on the bench and Ross might go again. The ideal last night was to give Ross the first half, be finished up getting 60 minutes, which he must be delighted with. I just hope he's okay today. Yeah. So it depends... Yeah. Liam Manning's going to take a look at the players and think, is anybody pulled up in training and looking a bit tired or not as sharp or whatever? But at least now he has got some options. So Watford, it's strange. I was looking at one of their away games against Plymouth. They drew 3-3 and they played a 4-1-4-1. And last time out, they won away at QPR, and Jake Livermore scored twice from midfield. Now, he's the holding midfield player.
Two long-range efforts they were as well, cracking goals.
Yeah, in that 4-1-4-1. So I think they'll try and dominate the ball, which will suit us more than somebody coming in and sticking Tembi on it. But you never know. Their manager could throw a curveball, but he's normally... Quite a positive manager. So with only one up top, it doesn't overburden our central defenders. So I think it should be, touch wood. Certainly, I think it'd be a far better game than Birmingham, Millwall or Preston. Let's put it that way.
Could be a lot worse, Ian. And, set a very low bar.
but then again, none of us were complaining when we beat Watford four, were we? No. So... You know, that's what I said. You're going to get ups and downs. And if you want all ups and no downs, stop following Bristol City, because I've been following them like you have, Dave, for the thick end of 60 years. And honestly, if the fans at places like West Ham think they've seen ups and downs, I'll sit down and talk to them for about half hour about Bristol City, and they'll crawl back to that club over three fields of broken glass naked. I'll tell you that now. They wouldn't want to go through what we've been through.
No.
I think it'd be a good game of football. And I'm really pleased that, we brought Scott Twine in. Yes, there isn't an actual option, but he's been brought in. He wants to stay. He's been brought into a permanent deal. But don't forget, if it doesn't work out, and not all signings do, if it doesn't work out, we may not want to sign him. Or may
exactly.
not want to keep
that's
him.
Good with that the option to buy. Seems to be quite a good way of doing things. And you and I are at Mark. Are you at Senior Reds lunch on Thursday?
No, I'm going back to Watford. I think it's interesting. They won't come to defend.
Sorry, Mark. I just wanted to pick up on Ian's comment because Brian Tinian's the speaker at Senior Reds on Thursday. So if we get a chance, just have a one-on-one with him, we may well.
Yeah,
ask him
can't make it. Unfortunately, with work commitments.
Go on, what were you going to say, Mark? Sorry,
Watford's. I mean, they've won 4 out of the last 5 away games. I mean, that's fantastic form. The only one they drew, as Ian mentioned, against Plymouth, and they score lots of goals. Play with a back four. Does that mean we'll go to a back four? I think possibly. I think that means. Does that mean Pring comes back alongside Tanner? Where does that leave McCrory? I think Sykes could come in from McCrory. Is that again would be a 4-2-3-1? I don't know. I think is it? Do you need players at home? Possibly.
I don't
possibly
know.
Not.
I mean, I don't know. I just think it just seemed to make us look more solid. I think Sykes is critical if he comes back.
Is another player like Conway. He does make intelligent runs.
Yeah.
And Sykes is also a good finisher.
Yeah.
And so
you get that extra goal threat with Sykes, don't you?
Finding him and it's finding Conway. That's the difference. I mean, against Watford, we were able to create triangles on both flanks that created the goals, especially the left-hand side. For both of the opening goals. Well, one of them is from a free kick, but Conway, Mometi, I think Pring worked very well on the left hand side in the first half. Created so many problems for Watford, and Conway's cross shot with Sykes at the back post was put in by Hoop, wasn't it? To get us a deserved 2-0 lead at half time. But I think we're fortunate that we're playing a team that are going to come to win. They're not going to hide. Not going to put 10 men behind a ball like Millwall. So we should see a more open game, which gives us a chance.
Well, hopefully.
But we've got to take our chances. Don't get the make sure that our wider players, when they play wide, aren't pinned to the byline. They're supported by another player, and they make short passes inside. So we keep the ball moving forward. And that when we do get a chance to pass, and if we've got to make a pass inside the fullbacks, somebody makes that run and they make the early pass and create chances. Because we're going to have to take them, because Watford score goals away from home.
Yeah. I'd like to see that back three stick. And Ian said earlier about McCrory, he's not going to be able to do 90 minutes. If Sykes was fit, you could give Sykes an hour like they did to McCrory last night and bring
McCrory
on for a half hour. So
Sykes has got a good defensive capability as well. So we know he's been played as a right back, hasn't he? And as an auxiliary right back in games where he's substituted Tanner and we've made a switch late in games sometimes. So we know he gives you that cover defensively. So that's good. But yeah, he might need. I mean, with his injuries, can he start a game? Same with McCrory, but it means that one could play an hour, and you've got a starter and a finisher.
That's Sam Bell, who came on and filled in, as you said quite rightly there. Ian, a few people have been commenting on the text about the ticket shambles. I gather there was free beer being given out by way of compensation. I got to the ground at about 22 minutes past 7, Lansdowne gates 5-8. I think the thing is, people, you do need to turn up early, you know, and I don't mean mega early, but, you know, leaving it to the last minute to get down there. I mean, it was 7:45 kickoff. I know the Leeds game is 8 o'clock. That's because of television. But, you know, is it 6 or 1, half dozen of the other, you know, that fans should turn up, but City weren't equipped? There's been a few comments about stewarding, particularly in the South Stand as well, but what's your take and how did you find it last night? I know you get there very early in the coffee bar.
Yeah, but I didn't go into the ground very early. My take on it was there were big queues in the same way there were for the Man City game. And I think some of that is down to printed tickets. If they'd have been uploaded to people's phones, the same as, for example, my I went to West Ham.
Yeah.
And my ticket uploaded directly to my Google Wallet. So if they'd have done that, and I don't know why they didn't, it could be something to do with our provider or technology, probably is, because that'd been the simplest way to do it. Not everybody has got a smartphone still, and not everybody has got access to printing. So sometimes that creates a difference. Now, I suppose it took me, I left a coffee shop, took me about 10, 15 minutes to queue up and get in the ground. And it was a bit, I wouldn't call it shambolic, but it didn't seem brilliantly organized. You know, when you queue at an airport, they put all these barriers up. So you've got lanes, to walk a certain way. You can't, And they create lanes. Now, perhaps if they tried something akin to that, then that would help it, because you had people walking into the queue from different places. They didn't know where the queue started or finished. So, but yeah, your point's well made. Over the years, people have turned up at Ashton Gate later and later and just walked into the ground. And it's just not quite as simple as that. And Dave seems to have disappeared off the face of the earth. So, Mark, did you have any problems getting in the ground last night?
No, I think it was just a load of people late. So, yeah, I was walking in from one side and you got people queuing in front of the turnstiles, and I think people think it should be simple to go through. And I had the ticket on my phone. It wasn't uploaded to Google Wallet, but I had absolutely no problems with the QR code. So just went straight through. But I think it would be much easier. I mean, I can remember when we went to Man City in 2018, it's like you had two areas, wouldn't it? You had like an outer turnstile and then an inner one. Because I think they did a bag search, didn't they? At that time was a bit different. But I think, yeah, if you had some sort of lanes, would need just a little bit of stewarding organisation. They could have got round that. It's quite a narrow strip, isn't it? Where the cut is, and you've got the pop up bars.
You've got a car park, and you've got
a few car parks. So it's quite a narrow area in front of the Lansdowne stand.
Yeah, but there's a lot of. Yeah, well, I go in front of the South Stand, and it's exactly the same, because you've got the car park and you've got that bit there, and I walk round to the Dolmen. But just a quick one on here, BCFC Skidmark, is Pringle to Rangers? No, that's bogus. And I read something by Carlton Palmer who said that Rangers are his idea was a £2 million deal. Well, they need to get better pundits, because he's daft as a brush if he thinks you could pick Cam Pringle up for £2 million. There was a rumour last year, West Ham were watching him. That is true. But West Ham lost interest when Cam lost a bit of form. That's the information. That's the information that I've got. And that's from the West Ham end. So Cam's not going anywhere. I think he's under contract to 2026. So hopefully he'll get into the Premier League with us. Let's have a nice cheerful one. Mark, looking at the game last night, if you were Liam Manning, how pleased would you be or not with certain aspects of the game? I mean, look at the defence, at the midfield, look at the attack. Well, where do you think we need to improve? And Dave's back.
Yeah, don't happen there, but at least you guys kept going. So that's good. That's good.
No problem.
Collectively, the defending's good. I think the problem we got is that when we win the ball well, just behind midfield and in the central areas, but we give it away. You're playing against better players, so you get a second less probably on the ball than you would normally. We lose the ball too easily, so that thought process has got to be quicker. Somebody needs to make the run, and they were making runs. You need to release the ball quicker to a player. Keep the ball moving, as Liverpool used to say. So defensively, I think that player's distribution's got to be better, especially Zach Viner. But you've got to have players who want the ball, So when a player's looking up, there needs to be somebody close by. You don't want to play too long a pass. You want safe passes or players to move into a space where the ball's going to be. So a bit of player intelligence. Just need to be a little bit more intelligent. And we need to sometimes release the ball quicker when players like Conway are making runs off slow centre backs. Really good running, and you know, to get them in, because you don't have to play the ball wide all the time. You can play the ball central if you can release the pass quicker. And I think our players were finding space last night. Is that sometimes they run into a bit of a cul-de-sac, their thought process isn't enough to make that quick pass, and then it slows down. The defence resets, and when you're playing against a team that are sitting in, it makes it that much harder. What I like to see, and I like to see more against the 10 men, Rob Dickey's prepared to make that run into space, you know, to make that barnstorming run. But when he does, somebody needs to move ahead of him. You don't want him to run into a defender, because once you do that, the players are all goal side and, you know, they're in. So just needs a bit more intelligence and better passing, I think. But collectively, he's defending, we look good, but we get caught in possession too often sometimes.
Yeah. No, I took a guest along to the game last night. He's probably seen about four or five games, and he said we look a totally different side to what we did at the start of the season. Ian's already said we look better coached and what have you. So it's all good stuff. Blackpool or Forest in the next round. Ian, likely to be Forest, isn't it? And, you know, we don't need to fear them, but it would be nice if Blackpool pulled off a shock, wouldn't it, to Bloomfield Road tonight?
Well, I don't think that's out of all reasonable doubt, because Forest have got smacked with a potential of a points deduction, and they're not in a great position, although they have improved, in fairness. They were all big fans of Steve Cooper, but they have improved since Espiritu Santo came in. But he might be thinking, wait a minute, I didn't sign up to be a championship manager. What's going to happen? So, and Blackpool were 2-0 up in the first leg, and because Forest played a weakened team, so Forest had to bring on their better players, bring on the first team, if you will, to pull it back to a draw. Mm. So it depends. If he goes with a weakened team, I could see Blackpool winning that, because it's one of those difficult places to go. Now, the pitch isn't as terrible as it was years ago, but it's still one of those grounds that not that many people like to go to.
It's an old star pitch in the ground that has been modified, but it's still not one of the best grounds in the division. Mark, it would be good to get one over on Nuno Espiritu Santos, because he's a nasty little piece of work. I think his last visit to Ashton Gate, I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, was December the 30th, 2017, and he'd been banished to the director's box. And whenever you see that Bristol City Wolves game, when they get that winner in the last minute, he's there giving it large, right next to Alan Dix, who said, you can't do... He's looking at him in that manner that's sort of like, what the hell do you think you're doing in the director's box, showing that level of excitement, which obviously he's going to be, but be nice to get one over on him, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually the last appearance at Ashton Gate, I think he was still there when they beat us in the FA Cup the following year, 1-0. Right. FA Cup fifth round. It was on a Sunday. So, he overreacted. I mean, he did that against Cardiff, I think, didn't he, in the league, and really peed off Neil Warnock. Mind you, being a long queue for that. But it's good. It's not a great place to go. Blackpool, you know, sounds a bit of a cliche, but you're right next to the Irish Sea, and it's going to be bloody cold. If Forest aren't up for that, they could easily lose it. With the quality they got, and you've got an outstanding attacking midfield player in Morgan Gibbs-White, really. Yeah. He won that game on his own. One of his shot for one of his goals. And he played under Espiritu Santo, of course, loaned him out, went to Sheffield United, didn't he? And then went to Forest after they got promoted. He's an outstanding talent. could play himself into the
England
team.
And have they got Chris Wood up front as well?
Yeah, Chris Wood. I mean, he got sold to Newcastle, didn't he? And then by Burnley, and was there 5 minutes. A big old lump in his 30s now, but still a decent player. Okay. But they got six players at the African Cup of Nations, and if they don't fancy that, they'll get fanged out. So that'll be interesting. It's live on the telly tonight.
It'd be nice
to get Forest, but I want to get in the fifth round. I prefer to play Blackpool.
We want to relive 1974, don't they?
Well, when the year ends in 1974, last time we got through to the quarterfinals after beating Leeds. Yeah. I've done that one to death. 94, we beat Liverpool. We also got through to the fifth round. Yeah. Beat Stockport 4-0 in a rearranged game because it was meant to be played, wasn't it? The Saturday after we beat Liverpool, but it was frozen off. Yeah. And then Wayne Allison got a hat-trick in a rearranged game against Danny Bergara's direct team. And we lost in the fifth round replay to Charlton. We should probably have won the game, and it was 1-1. And then they lost in the sixth round to Man United that year, the year Man United did the double, beating Chelsea in the final. I think it was 4-0. Yeah. So, you know, be nice to get in the quarterfinals of the Cup. I prefer to play Blackpool, but I think we can beat either team. It'll be 25 plus again. It'll be fantastic. And it's exciting. Do you know what I enjoyed last night, Dave? The amount of families that are there, kids, you know, girls and boys loving it. That's the next generation. Yeah. You know, big smiles on their faces. Absolutely
brilliant.
Well,
for once, City didn't disappoint. You know, they did do it, and they haven't done it for a while, but last night, no, they didn't disappoint. Ian, but those, just you know, wrap up and both.
But
of
we,
you,
we very quickly. I mean, about 20 years ago. I mean, I think the average age of fans.
Can we get back to the modern day? We're having a lovely stroll down memory lane. Yeah. But I'm just saying now,
those are the fans of the future. It's good to see lots of kids in with their families.
Yeah, lovely, marvelous. Yeah,
right. Transfer window is half gone. Andy Vyman has gone. He'll be remembered for his wholehearted commitment and being part of WSM in 21-22.
And his hat-trick it's against Sheffield United.
Various hat-tricks as well along the way. Yep. I was probably a bit harsh on him from time to time, but, you know, you can't take away 21-22 season. Ian, just to wrap up from you, do you see us having any more activity in the next... 14 days.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll bring in another midfield. Sorry?
In and out?
Yeah, possibly from the first team, one out and one in. Skidmark on here saying we need a striker and a goalkeeper this window. We won't this window, but we will in the summer, both positions, I believe. I think it's people keep saying it's a difficult window, but there hasn't been a huge amount of money spent.
No.
There's been a lot of loans with a view to, loans with an option, loans with an obligation, not really many loans with an obligation, and certainly not many what are called big money transfers. No. And I think those days in the Championship are gone. And I think they're gone for good for Bristol City until we're lucky enough to either sell a couple of players for 25 million. And even then, I don't think there'll be the largesse that there was previously. So, yes, we'll bring in somebody this window. I know the player is that we're trying to get. I'm quite excited about it, but I'm not going to mention his name or what country he's from or anything like that. But if we can land him, I think we'll be. I think he'd be a very good player.
All right, let me ask you this, Ian, without giving anything away. You know, will the fans look and think, bloody hell, Scott Twine was a bit of a step up or not bad? Is he of that ilk that it'll make people think, oh, that's not bad?
I think it'd be an exciting signing. Yeah. It's not going to be. I wouldn't say the guy's incredibly well known, but his stats are very good.
All right.
And he fits. You've got what you've got to look at with our team is the profile of the players we're trying to sign. And I don't see us going away from that very much. So, for example, if we were looking for a centre forward, and we will in the summer, it won't be. It won't be somebody that I describe as I've described before as a head on a stick that's in their 30s.
No,
that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for somebody in their early 20s who's going to have a sell-on value potentially. So I don't see us signing, with great respect to him, signing many more players like Harry Cornick, who were closer to the end of their career than the beginning.
Yeah, and he didn't sign him. As Tomo said earlier on the text feed, I mean, what Manning does like, apparently, and Tomo does spend time at the HPC on certain duties, what Cornick does do, buys into the squad mentality, but, you know, has he really affected the games when he has come on as a substitute part of the squad? And the answer to that, I would say no. I mean, Mark, Ian, not naming him or anything like that, he can't really lose, can he, with signing?
No,
If you want me to give you a list of players I'll give you a list of players and none of them are coming. But if you look at, if you follow my Twitter feed, and I know you do, if there's nonsense on there, like, for example, Cam Pring to Rangers, Max O'Leary to Forest, Roberto Muniz from Fulham. Who was the other one?
Chris Martin.
As I said to you before, I'll give you a list of players as long as you are. None of them are coming.
So, I mean,
I can list players all day. And what I say to people, if you don't want to listen to it, don't follow me on Twitter and don't listen.
Exactly.
So that's easy, isn't it?
Yeah. Somebody said Pritchard out of contract in the summer at Sunderland, but he's probably a bit too slow even for us. Mark,
He's a bit older.
Yeah, a bit older as well. Is he about 28 maybe? I don't know. Mark, Andy's gone. Do you see James going in the summer as well? Andy King probably now. And is Joe doing enough to earn a new contract? Because we're seeing the best of Joe Williams, aren't we? We're seeing the player that we thought we'd signed 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, I think with Joe, it's all about fitness. If he can stay fit and keep up those levels, he definitely gets a new contract. I think other clubs will be looking at him. Looking at him now, because he would be available if they don't make him an offer soon. I think the only thing he's got to watch now is that he will be a marked man because of those tackles and the immediate attention they got. He's got to be quite measured in the way that he's making his tackles now, but he's so much better and he's playing a lot of games. It's whether he can keep that consistency in three games a week that we're getting, because they're coming like meteors flying now. The games are flying in. Can he keep up that level? Because that's what he'll need from Manning. High intensity, high press, high energy. And that's the players that that Liam Manning wants. So he's got to sign up for that. So yeah, maybe James does go, but I think he'd be a very good squad player.
James does
a job. He can pass the ball. He can mix it up. He's not getting younger, but I think he's worth another year, definitely.
Okay. But will these players want to sign for us? That's the point.
We've got 1 point from the last three league games. Ian, how many points? You study statistics more than I do. Looking at the league table, there's 19 games to go. What points total would you say is going to get sixth place this season? Is it going to be a low 69 or a 74?
I think it'd be somewhere, if I was spread betting, I'd go somewhere between 73 and 76.
Okay. So on that basis, right, it is 19 games to go, isn't it? Yeah. 38 points on top of what we've got now would give us 38.
We've got 36 now. So yeah, that'd do it.
So we got, right, assuming we get a couple more in, no, one more in. So we've got Twine. So we get one more in, we don't suffer any more injuries to key players, yeah, is the squad capable, in your mind, simple answer, of getting 2 points a game for the balance of the season and make it an interesting season, notwithstanding the cup? Ian?
You can't answer a question yes or no without caveating it. So my caveats would be, if we can clear up the injuries and not get too many more injuries, suspensions is the other one that we've got to avoid. Yeah. If we get this addition, and the deal's not done yet, which is one reason why I'm not releasing any names, because that's just not, you know, that betraying a confidence. But I actually think that, yes, we have, with the extra couple of players, I'd agree with Liam Manning to an extent that you don't need more strikers if you've got players that can provide the right service. Yeah. And that's what we need. We need that service and to keep the players fit. If we do that, I think we've got every chance of finishing sixth. If you want to call it stars, if those stars all align.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Mark, I said this month will decide our season. And if you look at the games that are coming up, Watford home, and then it's Swansea away, Coventry.
Swansea at home.
Coventry away after the cup game, and then Leeds at home. Yeah, that's three fairly tough games coming up. And, you know, that's 6 points in those three games to maintain that 2 points a game that we're looking for. Whereas if we only draw two and lose one, season's over and we've got the cup to think about, haven't we? Yeah, but do you think we're capable? And Ian does, with the caveats that he's just put in there.
Yeah, if we take our chances, I think we got a chance. We got a good defensive record. I think because both teams who occupy the top two positions, Leicester and Ipswich, are currently getting more than 2 points a game, that means it's likely on the current points that sixth place could be maybe 70 points. So a very low bar. Normally it's 70 to 72 to 75. So it could be 70. Yeah. So there'll be a queue of clubs looking to get sixth place, because I think the rest sort themselves out. You'd expect Southampton to be pushing and Leeds to be pushing Ipswich for second place because Leicester should. They should walk it from here on.
And there are some very interesting games.
Yeah, both those teams at the moment are going to get over 2 points a game, so that gives seventh place. I it's going to be an adventure. Yeah. Of course, going further in the cup creates more problems because, you know, you'll see squad rotation because. And it's good. More games means more problems, possible injuries, possible suspensions. Yeah. We'll have to see how that affects us. But we've got players coming back. It'd be brilliant. Cal Naismith, Rob Atkinson.
There's a platform for momentum on the back of the FA Cup. But as Tomo's just pointed out here, the 12 league games that Liam's had in charge, or is it 11? But it's 1.25 points per game.
We need a run of games. We need it sooner rather than later.
We need to
show that we got
three.
A chance.
We need to do what we did just before Christmas, rattle off three wins in a row.
Yeah.
And then, as Ian's just said on the text, Borough, Watford, Hull, we rattled those three off. That's what we need to do. And Ian said he's been more hopeful than he has been for many a year. Well, let's hope that continues. We'll be doing our Watford match review at 6 o'clock. Sorry, what am I talking about? 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Yeah, so hopefully you can join us then. Thanks for everybody that has watched. And I dipped out in the middle. I had a little bit of a technical problem here, but it meant that the show carried on with Ian and Mark for a few moments.
Let's go on, David.
For that. And everybody have a good rest of week, and let's see who we're going to get in the fourth round as a result of the replay that I'll keep half an eye on TV tonight. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good week. All the best. Thank you. Cheers.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Really, I ain't got a thing.
I've got.
There's a time I always feel happy, as happy as a king. when the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin's out, bob, bob, bobbing along. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.